Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
In an act of total commitment, if you're really serious about discerning and knowing the will of God, this is of utmost importance. You must not conform to the world. You must be a non-conformist.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. In our world today, there's tremendous pressure to fit in, but God calls for His followers to be countercultural. Today on The Verdict, we're learning the difference between conforming to the world and living a life of total commitment to Jesus Christ. So, let's join Pastor John Monroe and continue our study in the book of Romans with his new message titled, God's Will for Your Life.
Do you want to know God's will for your life? Or do you want to live according to your own ideas, ambitions, and desires? In the last couple of lessons, we looked at Romans 12, where Paul gives the challenge of a lifetime. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is an act of worship, and this means a new way of life. Have you accepted the challenge? Are you now ready to continue? So, how are you to know God's will for your life? To discern God's will, there are two commands in Romans 12 that we must now observe. There is a negative command, and there's a positive command. Are you ready to hear them? Let's continue in Romans chapter 12.
John says in 1 John 2 verse 17, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Did you hear that? Whoever does the will of God abides forever. And if you are an authentic follower of Jesus Christ, I know that you have a desire given to you by the Holy Spirit. You have a desire to do the will of God. But as I say that, all of us struggle with knowing the will of God sometimes, and certainly with doing it. And over the years, I found this passage that we're looking at in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, to be of immense help to me, and I'm sure to many of you, and I'm going to challenge you with it today. We're continuing in our study of Romans. Last Sunday, from verse 1, we saw that we must meet the challenge of a lifetime and present our bodies to God in total commitment. Did you accept that challenge? Perhaps you're afraid of the challenge. Perhaps you're not sure of the challenge. Perhaps you thought that that challenge was for someone else. If you didn't accept that challenge, I challenge you again today. We're going to read in a moment Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. But having accepted that challenge, it doesn't stop just with accepting a challenge, does it? As we're going to learn today, are you ready to discern the will of God for your life and to do it? Paul says, if you are, there are two commands that we're going to look at and are going to observe. These wonderful verses, these foundational verses, these verses which are the pivot from the first 11 chapters of Romans, which present the doctrinal basis. And now Paul is dealing with the practical implications of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And he sets the case. He gives us this challenge, this pivotal challenge in these verses. Will you read it with me? Please. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. Please be seated. Two commands. First is the negative. Don't conform. I hope you've got your Bibles there. Turn with me to Romans 12 and notice verse 2, how it begins. Here is the negative. Do not be conformed to this world. The command is very clear. Don't conform to the world. If you're going to present your body as a living sacrifice to God, in an act of total commitment, if you're really serious about discerning and knowing the will of God, this is of utmost importance. You must not conform to the world. You must be a non-conformist. When I was a young teenager, I was officially given the title of non-conformist. That wasn't just because of my behavior, but I went to school in Gibraltar, Gibraltar Grammar School, and for 3 years between 13 and 16. And the school was taught by a Roman Catholic order called Christian Brothers. Some of you know them. We used to call them Brother So-and-so. They wore a little dog collar. And the teachers were all Roman Catholics, obviously, and the vast majority of the boys, it was a boys-only school, were Roman Catholics. There were a few exceptions. Two of my classmates were Jewish, and a couple were Anglican. And then there was myself and another boy who was totally irreligious, as far as I could discern, and we were given the tag as non-conformists. We didn't fit the pattern. We didn't fit the mold. They really didn't know what to do with us. It was a majority were Roman Catholic. They understood there were a few Jewish boys, a couple of Anglican. After all, this was the British system of education. We were going to do the Cambridge University entrance exams. And what about Monroe? What about this other boy, Alan Ruff? We were called non-conformists. So in their religious education, my Jewish friends and myself, we were excused, which was very, very acceptable, obviously, and we left school. We were non-conformists. Being a follower of Jesus means that you are to be a non-conformist. You're to be different. Being a follower of Jesus requires saying no to many things. Now, I know that's not popular. We're told today that everything's to be positive. We're to be great positive thinkers and possibility thinkers and tell ourselves that we can do anything we like as long as we believe in it. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, do not be conformed to the world. In fact, Paul is presenting two value systems, two standards which are diametrically opposed. And if you understand the Gospels, is very true to the teaching of Jesus, because do you remember Jesus, as he called people to him, he said, if you want to follow me, you must first deny self. No to self, no to the world. And the teaching of Jesus and the teaching of Paul doesn't fit us very well today in our cultural Christianity, because it is very clear from the teaching of the New Testament, as we have laid out here at the beginning of Romans chapter 12, that you're either following Christ or you're conforming to the world. Jesus himself said, you can't serve two masters. Now, we like to think we can. We want to have and say, yes, I'm following Jesus, but we also want to have, as it were, a foot in the world. We want to live between them both. Sometimes we're followers of Jesus, sometimes we're just following the world and conforming to the world. And Paul said, that is not the way to go at all. You can't do it. Jesus said that. Make up your mind. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But don't sit on the fence. Don't halt between two opinions, one of the Old Testament characters said. You're either committed to God or you're being conformed to the world. Now, don't answer too quickly, but what is it in your case? How do you think, as God looks down in your heart and your life, would he say that you are committed to him and you're a true follower of Christ? I don't mean perfect. We all fail. But I'm asking, are you an authentic follower of Jesus Christ? Or whatever you say about yourself, the reality is you're conforming to the world. This word conform means to mold or to form after something. What does the text say? Do not be conformed to this world. Now, the Greek word for the world here is not cosmos, the normal one. It refers to the age. Paul is saying, I don't want you to be conformed to the age, to the times, to the value system around you, to the surrounding culture. He's talking to Romans living in pagan Rome. J.B. Phillips, in his famous paraphrase, says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold." Are you being squeezed by the world into its mold? Are you? That's a very convicting question, isn't it? Being a Christian is counter-cultural. The early disciples turned the world upside down. So as I follow Jesus Christ, I realized I'm being pulled, I'm being squeezed to conform, to be like everyone else, to go with the flow, to fit in, and to adopt the ideas, the values, the trends, the mindset of our surrounding culture. And our surrounding culture in the 21st century is a very strong one with our media, with our social media, with our global world. It is so easy, isn't it, to just go along with the trend of the world, the thinking of the world. But we've learned in our study of Romans that we are different, that we belong not to this world, we belong to a future age, the age which is to come, the kingdom of God, and that with the coming of our Savior, the kingdom of God has come, and we are to follow Christ, and I'm not to be conformed to the world. You conforming to any molds? You being squeezed into a particular mold? What about the mold of pleasure? Going for the gusto. You're a bit of a party animal. If something feels good, you do it. Can I ask you in God's grace to break that mold? One, by conforming to the mold of materialism. Your life centers around, and in a very real sense, is controlled by money and possessions, by the stuff that you have. But isn't it the reality that some of us have so much stuff, even though we live in pretty large houses, it can't contain all of our stuff, so we've got to put it in storage. You think, what does that mean? Are you allowing meaning in life, your own value, your own significance to be defined by what you have, by your financial status? Don't allow yourself to be squeezed into the mold of materialism. That is a very, very strong force, isn't it? Break that mold. I heard of one Christian businessman whose warehouse burned down. And when a friend expressed concern, the businessman replied, "Young man, I gave my business to the Lord 20 years ago. If he wants to burn down his own warehouse, it's all right. Let's go and have a cup of coffee." I don't know if I could say that if my house burned down, saying, "Well, it belongs to the Lord anyhow." But isn't it true? Isn't it true that everything you have, a warehouse, a business, a car, a house, clothes, everything that we have comes from God? And that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And although we say, yes, we believe that, isn't it so easy to allow the culture of materialism, of grasping everything, and of being so selfish and of so self-centered that all we're concerned about is ourselves? Break that mold. Do not be conformed to the world. Here's another mold, the mold of self-fulfillment. It's a common belief that God wants me happy all the time. I come to church so I can feel happy all the time. The mold of self-fulfillment, of narcissism, of popularity. This is the society of the selfie, isn't it? I mean, when you put your photo on Instagram or whatever it is, how many likes do you get? It's all about you, isn't it? And if you get more than me, I'm really ticked off. What is it in your life? It may be none of these things. But what do you find yourself being squeezed into? Don't be conformed to the world. Many molds, many mindsets, worldviews, pressures on us And God is calling us to be different, to be countercultural, to be nonconformist. Do not be conformed to the world. Don't live your life like the unbeliever next door. You're to be totally committed to follow Jesus. So how are we doing? Commitment to Jesus or conformity to the world? Now let's look at the positive. Paul hasn't finished. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Here's the positive. Be transformed. I love this. The command is to be transformed. We're in the transformation business. This is authentic Christianity. J.B. Phillips says, let God remold your minds from within. Inner transformation. Now, the Greek word translated here, transformed, is the word from which we get our English word, metamorphosis. Do not be conformed to this world, but go through a metamorphosis by the renewal of your mind. We know what metamorphosis is, don't we? When I was a little boy, we would collect the spawn from the frogs. We go to the little burns or creeks, as you would call them here, the little rivers, put this in a pail, and much to our mother's disgust, would bring it home, and we would watch the metamorphosis. We would want to become little tadpoles. And after a bit, the little tadpoles, it swims around. In many cases, they died. Could never work out what they really wanted to eat. But occasionally, you would see the little legs growing on the tadpole, and over time, you have a tiny frog. What's happened? A metamorphosis, a change has taken place. Here is another one with a caterpillar. There is a very ugly caterpillar. And here, in the wisdom of God and the creativity of God, a metamorphosis takes place, a transformation. Notice it is a process, both with the frog and with the butterfly. It takes time, there's stages. And yet from that ugly caterpillar comes this beautiful, magnificent butterfly. That little caterpillar that just crawls around and is such an ugly little thing is transformed into a beautiful, majestic butterfly that really can fly wherever it wants. Isn't this exciting? That God is going to work in our lives and do a metamorphosis, a transformation, which is radical in nature and is also to be continuous in our life, because this is also present tense. Don't be conformed. Make sure day by day you're not being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This is not some religious performance. This is not some program that you adopt. This is radical in nature, spiritual transformation. Paul is contrasting then wonderfully conformity to the world with spiritual transformation. The transformation has its emphasis not so much on the external, that's conformity, but the emphasis on that which is internal, on that which is spiritual. Oh, in our religion, in our cultural Christianity, there's often a great emphasis on the external. But Paul is talking about that which is internal, that which is inward, inward transformation, not outward conformity, not playing a part, but this is radical, revolutionary change that Paul is expecting from followers of Jesus. Now, this is very key. Don't miss this. This transformation is supernatural. The verb transformed is in the present tense because Paul is emphasizing the progressive process of the transformation. As I said, in nature, the metamorphosis doesn't take place overnight. That little tadpole doesn't become a frog overnight. There is a process. So it is with us as we begin to follow Christ, as we accept this challenge of total commitment. Over the days, over the weeks, over the months, indeed over the years, there is a beautiful spiritual transformation in our lives. As a pastor, that's one of my greatest joys. And Jesus never leaves us where we were, but begins this wonderful process of transformation. Oh yes, salvation is instantaneous. We go in a moment from spiritual death to spiritual life. In a moment, all of our sins are washed away. Ah, but this process of becoming like Jesus takes time, doesn't it? And you have seen, I trust you've seen in your own life and the lives of those around you, this spiritual transformation. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. You're in Romans. Next book is 1 Corinthians, then 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, where Paul talks about this transformation, uses the same Greek word, metamorpho. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. He's talked about the difference in the Old Covenant and New Covenant as the context. And we all, he says, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Have you ever beheld the glory of the Lord? Notice this, are being transformed. There's our word, same word. This metamorphosis, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Here is the wonderful supernatural process as we begin to follow Jesus Christ, that the more we look at Christ and the more we love Christ, the more we become like him. And so over the months, over the years, as we focus on Christ, as we follow Christ, as we say no to the world, and we become less and less worldly in our thinking and in our actions, and we become more and more like Jesus. Paul referred to that, didn't he, in Romans chapter 8, about us being conformed. God is conforming us to the image of his Son.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, God's Will for Your Life. Now, whether you've been following Christ for years or your journey of faith has just begun, it's essential that we spend time in God's Word each day. And to help you do that, as we go through this study in Romans, John has prepared a rich new resource. It's an engaging guidebook with insightful discussion and thoughtful prompts to help build your in-depth understanding of this foundational book. Packed with explanations of Scripture, devotions, and even verses to memorize, this book is a great personal tool and also a wonderful resource if you're hosting your own Bible study. And it's free to download or request by mail. Get your free copy of Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, online when you visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. You'll also want to sign up for our monthly email list to stay in the loop on the latest updates and ministry news from John. Signing up is quick and easy when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day, everywhere we can, as we encourage others to trust and follow Him. And to do that, we rely on the generous donations of faithful listeners like you. You can join our efforts by giving a gift today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you doing God's will? Are you still not sure what it is? Paul tells us not to be conformed to this world. It's so easy to unwittingly adopt the mindset and the attitudes and standards of our surrounding culture. In what ways do you find yourself conforming to the world? Today, accept the challenge. Take a stand for God. Be totally committed to the person of Jesus Christ. Next time, we'll see how this leads to the transformation of your life and the renewal of your mind.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.